Hello, everybody, and welcome to the VestalProds.com comic book podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by Things from Another World. And I just chose the one completely at random. I just picked whatever ad popped up on the site, whatever ad popped up on one of the news articles, and it happened to be one for the comic shop. Who'd have thunk it? So anyway, TFAW.com offers over 20,000 pop culture products with thousands of comics, toys, statues, apparel, graphic novels, and other collectible stuff. They have them from all the companies like DC, Marvel, Dark Horse, Diamond Direct, all kinds of shit. They got from all kinds of different properties like Firefly, like pretty much everything Joss Whedon, everything Marvel, everything DC. They got what you need if you're into comics or other nerdy shit. So click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banners on the site. Go check out some awesome products at TFAW.com for great prices. While we don't have any comics or anything, we do have our own stuff. So please head over to DestoProds.com/store and check some of that stuff out. We have shirts and cell phone cases and other such stuff with some really great art from some of our friends. And they are fucking awesome. Definitely check them out. But as always, we are always looking for new stuff. So if you have some art or design idea you think we would like, please let us know. Send your ideas or art to Bovion at DestoProds.com or post them in the t-shirt designs thread on the forums. If we like it, we'll make it into products. If you submitted art, we'll pay you based on how well those products sell. If you have a design idea, we'll credit you, but unfortunately won't be able to pay you. Sorry, it's how things work out. But art, you may make money, possibly, if people buy stuff. I'm your host, the Dead Man. Joe today, as always, we have Bovion.
I really want someone to make that design of me in the death battle with Brad Swale.
Yeah, that may be just one of the things we just have to, like, find an artist on DeviantArt and pay them to make it.
Notably, though, we'd have to make Brad Swale not look too much like Brad Swale, otherwise he could sue us.
Yeah. Make him look like one of the characters he voices.
Then we could still get sued.
Okay.
I don't dislike his characters.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
On that anyways. Topic.
Yeah, so Stephen, once again, is not joining us because he's, making a movie. Fucking movies, man. They ruin everything. Yeah, but yeah. So, also, we're recording this a bit earlier than we usually do. You see, how it works with most of these podcasts is that we record them the day before they're posted. So with comics, we usually record them the Tuesday before they go up, which is Wednesday. This one we're recording the Friday before it goes up. So we are about 4 days ahead of schedule.
Yeah, because on the day we normally record, I'm going to be at Dead Man's.
Yeah, because Easter.
And while us being in the same place seems like it'd be better for recording a podcast, it really wouldn't, especially since Ninja Kitty would be there and she'd just be sitting awkwardly in the corner being like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Just occasionally going like, I get that reference. But yeah, we don't have a good setup for recording like two people in the same room. We tried it once when myself and Bovi and the Gelatinous Ender were all in London and you heard how that turned out.
Well, I have a good setup for it now.
Yeah, now, but...
But I'm pretty sure you don't.
I have one microphone.
I had to kill a lot of people to build this setup.
The people I kill go towards other endeavors. But yeah, anyway, so the reason I'm saying this up front is because there may be news that comes out that we report on that we actually don't mention on here. I'm just saying that because we are 4 days ahead of schedule, so stuff may happen that is really big and epic and awesome that we may not talk about on here. So just let you know, it's not our fault. It's Easter's fault.
Well, blame it's my Jesus. Fault. But...
It's Jesus' fault, because Easter.
Yes, blame Jesus.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about Jesus later in the podcast, but probably not the Jesus fault. You're thinking of.
Thinking of talking about Jesus?
Yeah. No, he's Jesus. And when I say I swear to Jesus or thank Jesus, I'm talking about the Walking Dead Jesus.
Ah. Okay. So anyway, yeah, so The Walking Dead.
Yeah, let's talk about The Walking Dead.
Yes. Are you caught up on Walking Dead now? You're up to 108?
I'm up to 108. So I really want to talk about Ezekiel.
King Ezekiel.
Because the introduction of King Ezekiel makes things really kind of surreal.
Yeah, but,
that's the only way I can describe it.
Like, for the longest time, it's been, you know, hey, zombies, but then also people. You know, it's just kind of been people. Like, well, they have been, like, a bit over the top and stuff. They've still just been, you know, hey, I'm a guy who does messed up shit. But then this guy, he's like, I am King of Washington. I have a pet tiger and I wear feathers everywhere. All bow down toward my awesomeness.
Actually, I can pretty much describe why I found this strange. If I went back in time to myself when I was just starting the series, maybe one or two issues in, and said, yeah, eventually Rick and Jesus are going to team up with King Ezekiel to lead a rebellion against the tyrant Negan, who has a baseball bat named Lucille and leads a group called the Saviors, I'd be like, you're fucking crazy, my friend.
Yeah. Also, Carl becomes a Cyclops.
By the way, that was an interesting thing that came up in 108, is Carl dealing with his new blind spot.
Yeah. Yeah, he was out there with Michonne just being all cocky. So I was like, oh, I can handle myself. And then all of a sudden, the zombie just comes out of his blind spot. And he's like, oh, fuck. And Michonne saves him. But, you know, he realizes that because of his handicap, he, you know, is handicapped. Michonne brings up the parallel of, you know, hey, your dad only has one hand.
Yeah. The one thing I have to point out is it's one of the first times we've actually seen, like, since Carl's accident, it's been one of the first times we've seen him afraid.
Yeah.
Or even concerned about anything. I'm starting to think that kind of like Kinsey, he's had his fear and his tears removed, only, you know, she took it out with a key and he had it shot out of his head.
Yes.
Just sort of splattered all over the ground.
Yeah, and the more I look at that hole, like, the more I look at, like, the place that, like, the amount of head that's missing, the more I think, you shouldn't be alive.
Once again, Phineas Gage. Phineas Gage is a man who had a piece of rebar fly through his head and took out a teacup-size amount of brain, and he survived. It fucked up his personality real good.
Yeah, but, you know, with that, he had, you know, modern medical technology and, you know, the best doctors working on him around the clock, and, you know, like,
no,
actual life support and shit.
Okay, it went unnoticed.
Unnoticed
for
what?
Years.
Fuck. Okay.
No one believes him. He's like, no, I've lost some of my brain. It's like, nah. Then finally it's like, you're missing some of your brain. That's probably why you've acted like such an asshole. Because, yeah, it totally fucked up his personality, but... And yeah, no, this was not... I forget when this happened to Phineas Gage, but it was not... He was not a man in modern times.
Okay, but still, like, that is insanely rare.
Insanely rare, yes, and that's why it only happened to Carl, I guess.
Yeah, like, because he's the fan favorite or something, but... Come on, man. Robert Kirkman. He's very similar to Joss Whedon, that he will kill the fan favorite character. Look at Glenn.
Glenn. Oh my god. And he didn't do it nicely, either.
It was fucking brutal! But, you know, Carl gets to live, but Glenn? Fuck that noise.
I must say, probably the only reason the TV show Daryl isn't dead is because of the fact that people would stop watching.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, like, if you look at the way some of the seasons or some of the episodes are written, Daryl dying has been set up so many times, and then it never happens.
Remember when he got shot? When Andrea shot him?
Yeah.
Ugh. But no, Merle's dead. So, then. Anyway, comics.
Comics, yes, comics. And what's the name of that dude, that two-faced dude who's now abandoned Negan.
I cannot remember.
Him. Anyways, I have to say I'm pretty willing to believe his story.
Yeah,
your thoughts?
It makes sense, like for what we know of Negan, to do that, and you know, it is a very sad story. But I'm just wondering if it's like if like that is actually what happened, and you know, he's just selling it to people, but then it turns out he actually is just working for Negan still.
It's entirely possible.
You know, it's like he's been like subjugated so much by Negan that you know, even with all the shit that was done to him, he's still like within Negan's thrall. No homo. I guess.
And then I have to, of course, briefly touch on my favorite scene of the entire comic. Ping pong. Negan really fucking likes ping pong.
Yeah. I really like Negan.
He is an entertaining villain, and there's nothing better than an entertaining villain.
Like, yeah, he's really interesting. Just like with the way he set up his society, the way he acts since the apocalypse, just who he is at all. I would have loved to see him before all this happened. like the governor, like they released like the governor special a while ago, showing how the governor like who he was before and how Woodbury got like started. I'd love to see like a Negan special where we get a like look back at Negan before he led the Saviors.
Turns out he's just like a fucking accountant.
Yeah. He works at S-Mart.
It's never the ones you expect.
Yeah.
Anyways, I guess I'm going to move on from The Walking Dead.
Okay.
And then, once again, King Ezekiel has a fucking tiger.
Yeah.
And
a pimp cane.
Moving on from The Walking Dead, Runaways. Marvel Runaways.
Ah, yes! My favorite superhero team.
Yes,
Even though they'd be getting the shaft.
I just read about 3 issues into Volume 3. Right now it's at the beginning of the Dead Wrong arc.
Okay, is that vampires?
No, what's happening right now is they just came back to the future, or sorry, present day, and they're dealing with the, fuck, what's the race called? I took so much effort to remember what alien race Carolina is. And then, gone.
Fuck! I should know this.
Anyways, there's a group of them who blame Carolina for what happened to their planet, even though that makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah.
And then they come hunting her.
Woo!
And then there's that weird thing with that radio talk show host. Do you know what's going on with him?
Yeah, like the thing where he's like the demon thing. He's like, you like try to turn everyone into a goddamn like weird zombies through rock and roll with plastic surgery.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far into it. He just seems suspicious.
It gets way more stupid. Yeah, Caroline is a Majestanian. You know, I guess Brian K. Vaughan was trying to find a name dumber than Skrull.
He succeeded.
Yep. But now the Skrull even. No, I'm not going to get into that whole thing that happened.
That's the big thing right now is the Majestanians and the consequences of Nico's scatter spell.
Yes,
which is that not only did the enemies scatter all over the world, but now the Runaways are scattering, emotionally distancing themselves from each other and physically distancing themselves from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've read the Runaways. I need to get back into that.
There seems to have been a bit of an art style change.
Yeah. That happens sometimes between volumes.
Which, I don't like this one. I like the previous art style that was used for a lot of the stuff in the first two volumes.
Is this the, like, sub-anime one?
Yeah, the current one is sort of sub-anime. It's cartoony. Everything's really bright, and nothing keeps its shape properly, and...
Yeah, they've done that.
One scene, Chase randomly turns fat.
Yeah, they've done that a couple times, actually. Like even in the old books, like one or two chapters, it was just, hey, the anime.
Yeah, it just happens occasionally, but like...
That's what the kids are into nowadays, right?
The main style from the first two volumes, for example, in the second volume, the end arc, the Dead End Kids, I think it is, the one that Joss Whedon wrote in the past, with that art style, which was used really well there because it's in the past, there's this excellent two-page spread of everyone dying because Joss Whedon
wrote it.
First we introduce the characters, then we make you like them, then we kill them all, except one.
Yes. But then we have them watch.
Anyway, so like, that art style was excellent, but this art style, I don't like it as much.
Yeah.
Everything seems less serious, and like, there's this weird thing they did to Zavin, where instead of when he's in his guy form, I guess I should say she does prefer to be female.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard when dealing with shapeshifters who don't have a specified gender.
When she's in her male form, she no longer looks like Zavin. She looks like Alex, which was a problem for me.
Right? Yeah, that happened.
And so I'm like, I get into the first issue, and the art style is completely changed. I'm like, why the fuck is Alex there? Oh, I guess that's Zavin. I guess they think all their black people look the same.
Yeah. There's people out there who don't know, Zavin's an alien who's like, he's Skrull who's with Runaways, and Alex was a member of the Runaways who betrayed the group to Gibberim.
And then got incinerated.
Yes. And yet, the Staff of One and the Fist of Gong. Wait, didn't Staff of One and Fist of Gong survive? That, or?
The Staff of One did, as did the Fist of Gongs, I think. I know Chase is working on new Fist of Gongs right now.
No, he has new Fist of Gongs. At the point that I'm in the like chronology of the Runaways, he got new ones. And new Bootagons. Basically, Fist of Gongs for your feet.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, he got those when he was life-stalking Gert. It's complicated. You'll get there. But yeah, the Runaways got so fucked over by Marvel because, get to the homecoming or homeschooling, whatever it's called. You'll see how that ends, and then we get nothing until they make a guest appearance in Dokken. And then, you know, like then they had Civil War, and now, like, fucking Nico and Chase are in the fucking murder world in Avengers Arena for some reason.
I don't know exactly how the Avengers Arena works, but isn't there a good chance of them dying there?
Oh, yeah, everyone's free game. Because clearly Dennis Hopeless doesn't give a fuck.
And he's established that once he kills them, they're dead. Dead.
Well, he didn't establish that. He just said, hey, what he said was, there would be no meaningless deaths. And there have been nothing but meaningless deaths.
Oh. Well, then he's a liar.
Yeah, like Metal, like the first death, Metal, who was awesome. He was a great character. I love Metal from fucking Avengers Academy. Like Arcade just shows up and is like, okay, so I need... All right, so who's the weakest link? Need to get rid of one of you. And then Metal shows up like, I'm the weakest link. Okay, dead. And then the second issue, dumb girl. Like, no one, like someone, I'm pretty sure a new person for the Black Academy. Just a totally new person. Just like, I need to get out of here. Flies up, snaps her neck. Dead. She had one line. I need to get out of here. Before... And... God damn it, Hopeless. Why are you doing this to me? I don't want Nico and Chase to die. I want the Runaways to come back.
Yes, they should. Although, with the better art style.
Yeah, Once you get into the later arcs, like, once you start getting more to the close to the end, the art style does get better.
Okay.
But, the last homeschooling is just so... They do what they can to destroy these fucking people. And I want to tell you what happens, but I can't, because spoilers.
I'll get there fairly soon. Like, now that I can read it all, I will read it all.
Yes, you really should, and you should just... And then, so, next episode, next podcast, we'll be getting deep into the rage over what happens to fucking Runaways. I hope.
Oh, yes. We'll be talking very much about the Runaways, so look forward to that.
Yeah. Hopefully Steve will be back with us, so he can maybe contribute to that, because I don't know if he read the Runaways or not.
I hope he did.
Yeah.
It's one of those series that, like, when people are asking me, oh, what comic series do you recommend? Walking Dead, Fables, Runaways. It's third on the list.
Yeah, man. I fucking love Runaways, man. So good.
Come on, that's it for what I've been reading.
Okay, so then, on to me. So, like last time, I got four things to talk about. Two from Bobby, two from me. Let's start with my first thing. Five Ghosts, The Haunting of Fabian Gray. So this one, there's a guy named Fabian Gray. He has five ghosts living in him that he can use. He has five ghosts living in him. These ghosts are literary ghosts. And the five ghosts living in him are the archer, the detective, the vampire, let me just pull this up. Because he has a few different ghosts living in him, and I can't remember what they're all actually called. So, let's see here. Yeah, so we have the wizard, the archer, the detective, the samurai, and the vampire. So he got the, Fabian got like possessed by these five literary ghosts after he came into contact with something called the Dream Stone. I'm not sure if this is actually like a continuation of something or what, but it just kind of starts out like in medias res or whatever. It just is like, hey, Fabian's doing shit. Then nothing happens really. It doesn't do a very good job of explaining, you know, how Fabian got possessed by all these ghosts, what's going on with him. Like, and they kind of do, like, the characters are specifically designed to look like certain people. Like, the archer, I'm pretty sure, is Robin Hood. The detective looks... Detective is Sherlock Holmes. The vampire, I'm guessing, is Dracula. But then the wizard and the samurai...
All the characters that Deadpool's killing.
Yeah, then I'm not sure who the samurai and wizard are supposed to be. Is the wizard, like, Gandalf or something? Or Merlin?
Maybe Merlin. I would have to read to tell you anything about that. And the samurai... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so looking at... with this first issue, there are only, like, one or two moments in it where he actually does get to just go kind of whole hog with all the ghosts. Like, the first bit is the only time we actually get to see him, like, use all five of them. It's like, we see him shoot an arrow down into... you see him shoot an arrow down into, like, a castle, then, like, slide down. Then he uses his his wizard powers to summon a giant stone hand out of the ground to kill some guards. Then he like turns into a detective to find a secret room, and then he gets in there. They activate samurai to fight a bunch of guys off with a sword, and then someone cuts him. He's like, "Okay, fuck this!" And just goes vampire in all of them. And then next scene, it's bright. It's like midday, and he's naked in bed with a lady,
getting some afternoon delight.
Yeah, with no transition whatsoever. It's just, he kills some guys, and then, sex.
He actually used his wizard powers to turn one of the guys into a woman who would sleep with him. Well, it makes them no longer a threat, and it gets you some sex.
Yeah. Yeah, true, but still. He was still a guy. At some point. So with the comic, it does have a really interesting premise. You know, with like the five literary ghost thing, but it doesn't do a very good job of explaining how Fabian got these things, who he was previously, what he like, how his life has changed since getting these ghosts. It's just been, he got the ghosts, now watch him do stuff with them, and then not. And the art style, it is good. It's kind of a, it's very line heavy, like with the shading. That makes a lot of sense. Like the shading like on faces and stuff, it's just like a black block. But then with shading on like building and stuff, it's all done in lines, which I think looks good. I do think the art style is really good, and I'm doing a horrible job of explaining it to people because, you know, that's who I am.
I actually kind of understand what you mean with line heavy shading.
Yeah, it's not like cross hatching or anything. It's just, you know, hey, lines. And yeah, the art's good, but art's good. It's an interesting premise, but again, there is, I don't know anything about this guy previously. I don't know anything about him afterwards. It's just, I just don't think it's really that interesting. Okay, I don't mean that. It is interesting, but it doesn't exactly have a lot of, I don't exactly have a lot of stake in these characters, so I don't know anything about what's happening with them.
Like, Fabian's having a poor execution?
Yeah, like, Fabian's, there's, like, something going on where his powers are killing him. Like, every once in a while, he'll just, like, go insane and then just, like, fly into the air. Like the ghost is talking to him, like, where are we? Who was happening? Who is this man? What's happening to me? And then, like, fly into the air with, like, lights flowing off of him. And then a friend of his who, I guess, knows about this, hits him in the back of the head with a tea kettle. And then he's in a coma for 4 days.
Tea kettles solve everything. They also cause comas.
Yeah. So from the looks of this, it looks like, I was watching this, some guy named Iago, who may or may not be, you know, like Iago from something else. I don't actually know. But yeah, like, he's involved in some weird, like, satanic cult thing that's trying to get the five ghosts out of him. Fabian is, he has something where, like, his sister's in a coma, and he's trying to help her, and he had to go to, like, a spider tribe of native Africans in, you know, the middle of the desert. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I definitely feel like I'm missing a lot of context with this. So,
yeah, so is it possible that it's actually like a sequel series and you're missing something?
Maybe. That's the thing. I've looked around. I've tried to find some other thing with Fabian Gray, and I haven't been able to. It could just be that I'm just missing out on like a lot of context with this. But from what it is just right now, it's interesting but really confusing in terms of, you know, actually giving me anything to go on with any of these characters. And yeah, like, even on the fucking Image Comics website, it doesn't say, like, a continuation of, it just says, a bold new era of pulp adventure comics begins here.
Yeah, this doesn't quite seem right. It doesn't, for a full start of a series, it's not explaining itself very well.
No, it explains absolutely nothing about what's going on, and Which is really a shame, because I'm really interested in what's going on. And, you know, usually I'm, you know, hey, I'm all for ambiguity, but if I don't know who the characters are, I can't really care about what happens to them or what they're doing. So, yeah, I have no idea what the hell is going on with fucking Fabian Gray. And I'll probably read another couple issues, see what's going on in it, but for now, I am, I kind of don't care. But anyway, moving on, what's your pick? Your first pick, anyway.
As usual, I completely forgot it the moment we started talking. Where's my thing where it's written? There it is. Extermination Alpha 1.
Yeah, so Extermination. So, if you guys had read the previous Uncanny X-Force series before it got changed, then you would know that Wolverine and his group and his X-Force team, they went to the Age of Apocalypse universe. While there, they actually managed to grab one of their bring someone from that universe back over to this universe, mainly Nightcrawler. Now, this was good for Wolverine because, you know, in this universe, like in the main Marvel universe, he was best friends with Nightcrawler, and Nightcrawler got dead. I can't remember how. But yeah, Nightcrawler was dead, and so the Wolverine brought, like, this Nightcrawler over. And then, hey, everything's fine. But then Wolverine went after, like, Dokken and a new Brotherhood of Evil Mutants who were trying to resurrect Apocalypse. And Wolverine and then Nightcrawler ended up putting Wolverine in a situation where he had to kill his own son.
Well, that's never good.
No. And the reason that Nightcrawler did this was because in the Age of Apocalypse universe, Wolverine is Apocalypse. And Wolverine and Wolverine killed Nightcrawler's wife. So yeah. Kind of problems there. But anyway, so when this happens, Nightcrawler is doing everything he can to try to get back to his Age of Apocalypse universe. And he's enlisted the help of Dark Beast, who is the evil version of Beast, like Hank McCoy, from the Age of Apocalypse universe. So Wolverine and his team track Nightcrawler down. They go through a portal, which is in the Age of Apocalypse universe, and they also meet the Age of Apocalypse team over there, which consists of Jean Grey and Sabretooth, who have no powers, William Stryker, who's known as Prophet in that universe, as well as a bunch of other people who are like working against Wolverine in that universe. And then they also meet the Extreme X-Men team, which if you guys aren't reading Extreme X-Men, you really should, because it's very good, despite the title.
Extreme!
Yeah, so now the Astonishing X-Men team, which is what Wolverine was running around with to track down Nightcrawler, which consists of Iceman, Wolverine, Northstar, Gambit, and a lady, who I don't know who. She calls herself Sean. Yeah, so the Astonishing X-Men team, the Extreme X-Men team, and the Age of Apocalypse X-Men team are now all in the same universe, which, you know, is pretty cool. And they're here to try to stop evil Charles Xavier's. You know,
multiple like evil Charles Xavier's?
Yes, I believe 3 of them. They might be someone else. I can't exactly. Yeah, I'm looking at them, and I can't exactly see what this is. What these guys are supposed to be like? They're big, bald guys with awesome powers, but they also have like guns and whips and swords and stuff, and they all have weird body armor on. So for all I know, it's someone completely different. But yeah, so this is the start of the Extermination story, and it's continued in Astonishing X-Men, and then it'll go over to Extreme X-Force, Extreme X-Men, and then Astonishing X-Men, and then Age of Apocalypse, which I stopped reading. I was reading Age of Apocalypse for a while, but then I just kind of fell off of it because it was kind of boring. But yeah, so Extermination 1, it's good. It sets up a cool premise with one of my favorite teams currently, a team that is interesting, but I kind of just got bored with, and Wolverine's team, like one of his 7. Yeah, it's
Wolverine likes teams.
Oh yeah, he's on fucking everything. So he has like the school, he's on the Avengers, he was part of X-Force, he's part of the Astonishing X-Men. Next he's going to try to join the Future Foundation. Teach those kids how to become assassins. He's the best there is at what he does, and what he does isn't friendly. Or whatever the fuck the saying is. But yeah. So, moving on to my next pick. Deadpool, issue 6. It was awesome.
I'm sure it was. Please, speak of Deadpool.
Yeah, so, Abraham Lincoln raised an army of dead soldiers to try to take back the United States from the Americans. He created a death sphere around, like, in front of Parliament so he could finish a spell that would, you know, wipe America off the face of the planet. Anyone who walked through it immediately died. Deadpool walked through it and immediately died. Then he came back.
But that doesn't last long, I was about to say.
No. And here's the thing. So, at that point, George Washington had killed Agent Preston. So Agent Preston, the one agent within S.H.I.E.L.D. who didn't treat him like a total fuck-up, was dead. And Washington got his hands on the magic sword that was enchanted to specifically kill dead presidents. Deadpool walked in there and finished off Washington. You know, stopped the rising. Everything was fine. The Avengers even showed up and congratulated Deadpool on a job well done. And then immediately started ignoring him and never wanted to speak to him again.
Good job, like, man. Get the fuck away from me.
It was actually really great. So Thor, he showed up and it was like, you've done well, Deadpool. Deadpool, there shall always be a cup of mead for you in the Asgard. And it's like, oh, great. So like, you want to hang out and get drunk sometime? It's like, I said to be a cup for you. I didn't say you'd have to be there. And then flies off. And so yeah, now Deadpool's hanging out with the Necromancer. And hey, guess what? Preston is now inside Deadpool. Preston is the box.
Which box?
The box, because right now there's only one.
Oh.
Like, previously Deadpool had two text boxes speaking. One speaking in his voice, one speaking in a different voice. Ever, like, when Gary Dugan and Brian Posehn, they took over the series, they did not bring back those boxes. It was just Deadpool being Deadpool, but minus those voices. But now Deadpool has a voice inside of him. That voice of Agent, the voice of Agent Preston. And it was actually kind of, there's actually this one really great, like, final splash page at the end, where Deadpool was standing at the foot of the reflecting pool, and then, like, pans down, and you see Preston dressed as Deadpool, standing there, looking just, oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me, I can't believe this is happening to me. Why am I inside of Deadpool? And, you know, Necromancer and Ghost of Benjamin Franklin are still there. And so this is, Posehn and Dugan have been doing a great job with Deadpool. They really understand the character. They really get across like the awesomeness of Deadpool in terms of his skill and his just personality. They've been doing a really great job with all of that. And now they have this because Preston was a really great character. It was a great addition to the overall, you know, thing that was going on that they were doing with Deadpool. And now she is actually a part of Deadpool, like literally.
Good to see she was digging around, and that Deadpool has the box now, and that it's probably going to fuck with his psyche if you can fuck with his psyche any more than it's been fucked with.
Yeah, it'll actually be interesting seeing Preston dealing with being inside of Deadpool's head. Because presumably, you know, she'll be able to see what he's thinking and everything, so...
That could be... Well, if she just, you know, turns into the one box that's not his voice, then no wonder that box is so fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's also, remember that agent in S.H.I.E.L.D. who had the mustache who, like, really hated Deadpool and thought this entire thing was, like a terrible idea?
Yeah.
Deadpool rips off his mustache. Well, a part of it.
Like, Victory.
He just grabs a part right underneath his nose, just rips it off. Because the guy was saying how Deadpool is like a total fuck up, and he was the reason Preston was dead, and like Preston did a horrible job choosing him, and everything that he did was like a total fuck up, and he just like kept bad mouthing Preston, and Deadpool was like, fuck this noise, rips his mustache off. And then, you know, he's about to arrest him, and then Captain America shows up and says, hey, great job, Deadpool, you've done the country a great service. Now never look at me again. Which, okay.
It's good to see that, you know, the Marvel Universe still encourages bullying and segregating people because they're different.
Yeah. The Marvel Universe.
True that with Deadpool, the being different is he's a sociopath.
Well, he's not really a sociopath. He's a... Sociopaths are very specific things. Like, they have, like, no emotions. Deadpool has emotions. They're just kind of messed up.
He's a psychopath. He's a something-o-path.
He's a something-path. He could be a telepath for all we know. That's how he's able to know what the writers are thinking. Anyway, Deadpool's still amazing. The art is still fantastic. Tony Moore is one of my favorite artists right now. Posehn and Dugan, they are doing a great job writing this character. They really understand what makes Deadpool great and, you know, work off of that really well. And they set up a lot of really interesting things, because now Deadpool has, you know, the ghost of Benjamin Franklin, the Necromancer hanging around. He has Preston. He has an enemy inside of S.H.I.E.L.D. The Avengers have said, hey, good job to him, so, you know, he now has that, now has that under his belt, saying, hey, guess what? The Avengers complimented me once! Yeah! Yeah, just, you guys, anyone out there not reading Deadpool, you should be reading Deadpool. It's one of my favorite series right now, and it's fucking great.
I just see Captain America being like, is it true that Deadpool helped with the boom, just kicks the fan in the face? No. Yeah. You don't mention Deadpool.
Yeah. It's like, fucking Deadpool, man. Anyway. Yeah, so, your final pick, Bobby Wong, for what I've been reading.
I wanted you to look at Batwoman.
Yeah, so, Batwoman. She's getting married to a cop.
Ooh. That's what I was going to say. Know. To whom?
Yeah, to a cop. Her cop girlfriend, actually. Because, you know, at the end of, Yeah, so at the end of issue 17, after she teamed up with Wonder Woman and took down, you know, the mother of monsters, I guess, she revealed her identity to her girlfriend and said, hey, you want to get married? So this issue, she is, you know, back on the streets of Gotham doing crime-fighting shit. She's fighting Mr. Freeze with her cousin, who is now back under a new identity. So they're both fighting, you know, Mr. Freeze. And Kate, since she's and Batwoman, since she's working with the DEO, which is the Department of Extranormal Operations, I think. They're like yelling in her ear, saying, hey, like, make sure you don't damage Freeze's tech too much. We want to use it. And then Batman shows up. And says, hey,
of give course me Batman shows up.
Yeah. Batman shows up and says, hey, Freeze is my territory. Give me his tech. Everybody, sorry about that. I'm some technical difficulties. So, back to what I was talking about. So, in Batwoman, what happened after? So, Batwoman stands up to, you know, the DEO and the Batman, because, you know, she's just that awesome. And then we got over to the DEO, where Director Bones has brought in a new agent to try to whip Batwoman into line, because. Because Batwoman, while she is working with the DEO, she doesn't want to be. Like, they just kind of approach her and say, hey, we know who you are. We can help you. Just do shit for us. And she's like, fine, okay, whatever. But now they're like trying to order her to do more stuff, and she's just not having it. And so they bring in this new guy to try to, like, raise the stakes as it is. Then we cut over to Batwoman's dad, whose current girlfriend found out that he has been helping his daughter and niece be superheroes. Then we cut to fucking Batwoman's cop girlfriend, who's buying themselves a new apartment. And like two entire walls of it are window.
Well, that's stupid.
Yeah, and it's Gotham, too.
You're trying to move in with a superhero and you want a lot of window? No!
No! Yeah, so the issue ends with Agent Chase, I think her name is. Yeah, actually, I have it right fucking here. I don't know why I'm just being all weird about it, but yeah. So Agent Chase is meeting up, I believe it's Agent Chase. Yes. Yep. I don't even care. I'm just calling her Agent Chase now. Fuck it. So, Agent Chase meets up with somebody. Yes, Chase. So, Agent Chase meets up with somebody. We don't know who. We just get, you know, a glimpse of their silhouette, and it's, you know, very blah. I'm guessing, like, if you had been, like, seen anything with Chase previously, you might know who it is. But I don't, so, yeah. This is really terrible for me today. I don't know why I'm being so awful at this. But anyway, yeah, this issue, it's a pretty good issue. It shows that Batwoman is, you know, not putting up with anyone's shit. She's like through taking orders from the DEO. She doesn't take orders from Batman. She's just trying to be her own hero and not let anyone get in her way. I'm guessing this has to do with, you know, what happened with the monsters and everything and her, you know, finally revealing who she is to her girlfriend and, you know, proposing marriage, which is great. Because there's not a lot of really great lesbian couples in comics nowadays.
No, some of them are pretty poorly written.
Yeah, with this one, while she is gay, it's not like she is overtly gay. This is something I've always liked about the character, where being gay isn't her entire character. It's just one aspect of her as a person.
Like, I'll even say, as an example, Carolina and Zavin, that's not nearly as good. And Carolina is not nearly as well written as a lesbian. It becomes too much of a focus.
Yeah, like in the Runaways, there was a bit where, like, the Kingpin was involved, and, you know, someone was, like, giving a rundown of the thing, and it's like, this is Carolina Dean, she's involved with Zavin, their relationship appears to be homosexual in nature. And even Kingpin's like,
why the fuck does that matter?
It's like, it doesn't really. Then get on with it! So, yeah. Anyway, Batwoman and the detective they do make a good couple. I do like them together. And it's good seeing Kate just dealing with all the shit and just being fed up with it and, you know, trying to move on from everyone, just become her own thing. And it'll be cool seeing where the DEO goes from here, because I do not have that deep of experience with the DEO. But from what I've seen, they're just kind of shape. They're kind of the shield of this universe. So, and I have some experience with S.H.I.E.L.D. and the shady shit they do.
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. generally isn't good news.
No. So it'll be interesting seeing what they do, who this person that Chase is meeting up with is, what Agent Asif has to do with everything, and what his plan is to escalate the stakes. I'm guessing it's going to be something where he like starts arranging attacks to be like to take place. When Kate is out in her like person like a civilian identity, you know, happened with her fiance, it happened to her cousin, happened to her dad. Something to just get her, something to just like have DEO strengthen the hold where they have around Kate's chain.
Right.
And it'll be cool seeing her break out of it and just say, you know, hey, fuck you, and how she actually, I really want her to, you know, break away from the DEO. And have, you know, them be kind of antagonistic forces, you know, not actually enemies, but working against each other for similar goals, I guess. If that makes sense.
Yeah, kind of like the role that S.H.I.E.L.D. tends to take in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, where someone, someone does the superhero shit, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. is like, hey, you know, just don't move, I'm taking everything. National security.
Like how Peter Parker gets to a point of really not liking Nick Fury.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that, folks. Just getting a drink. So yeah, Batwoman. It's still a really great series. If you aren't reading it, you definitely should. It's It was one of my favorite. I think I'm pretty sure like the first issue I gave that a 5 out of 5, and it's still one of my favorite series in the, like, the original New 52 lineup. And it's definitely like within the top 3 favorites of the Bat Family books. So definitely check out Batwoman. So, that's what we're reading then. On to news. So, our first piece of news. Andy Diggle, the newest writer of the Action Comics, has left Action Comics before his run has even started.
Well, that was over quickly.
Yeah, so his run starts next month.
And he's already quit.
Yes. And I've looked around, and I haven't actually been able to find a reason why he left. So Andy Diggle announced this over Twitter. I'm saying, quote, "Sadly, I've decided to walk away from Action Comics for professional reasons. It was the toughest decision I've ever had to make, especially with Superman's 75th anniversary and Man of Steel on the horizon. But it was the right decision. No regrets. Onwards. Sincere thanks to Matt Idelson for inviting me to follow Grant Morrison on Action Comics. I hope we still get to work together someday. Thank you to all the fans who've expressed their enthusiasm and in anticipation of my run. I wish nothing but the best of luck to whoever whichever new creative team picks up the red boots and cape." So, so it has been announced actually that Tony Daniel, who is the artist for the series, will also be taking over the writing duties. Tony Daniel wrote and drew the first half of the new Detective Comics run, which was good. And yeah, this kind of sucks. Like professional reasons, like it means like probably some editorial like mandate thing that he didn't want in on, like with Joshua Fiakov. I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name, but. He also recently stepped down from both the Red Lanterns books and the Green Lantern Corps books because DC wanted to kill off Jon Stewart and he didn't want to. So it could be something along those lines, but I don't actually know.
Yeah, it kind of sucks when someone doesn't really give the fans a reason. There's like professional reasons. Like, what professional reasons? You can't just say reasons. That's like when a kid asks you why for something, you say because.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that there's probably some like behind the scenes stuff going on that might actually, you know, stop him from saying why he left. But it'd be nice if he got something more than professional reasons. But anyway, while Diggle is no longer writing the book, he still wrote a few issues. His first issue, issue 19, is still set for release on April 3rd. But we don't know how many issues he'd actually gotten done and had been published. So we could see his issues for like the next 3, maybe the next 6, or this could be the only one that we actually see of his before Daniel takes over everything. Anyway, excuse me. Moving on to our next piece of news. The Injustice video game has gotten itself a season pass. And I'm really starting to hate season passes.
Yeah, because it's basically like, we know how much DLC we're releasing, and we're releasing it all the first year. Why aren't we releasing it with the game? Because fuck you.
No, like some season pass stuff, you know, I'm kind of cool with. You know, like the thing, like, hey, get the season pass and, you know, get all this awesome new stuff. Or, you know, get the season pass and, you know, get access to certain things, you know, other people won't be able to. But, you know, just now that everyone's doing it, it's just kind of pissing me off.
It's so, for those turning who don't, into so, a money grab, basically.
Yeah, so for those who don't know what the season pass is, a season pass is... So basically, so some video games, after they are released, they get post-release content, DLC, downloadable content, where, you know, a new character is added to the game, a new mission, some new stuff is added to the game that wasn't in the original release. So what the season pass is you pay some money up front, and you get access to all the planned release content at a discounted price. So basically, like, if all the content is released and it adds up to like $35, you only pay $30 or something. So NetherRealms, they did something similar to this with Mortal Kombat, where they released season pass, you pay $15 and you get four characters who, if you bought them separately, would cost you $20. And they're doing the same thing here. They have announced a new season pass that will cost you $15, about 1,200 Microsoft points, and that'll get you the four planned DLC characters, which individually cost, you know, $5 or 400 Microsoft points each. The season pass also gets you alternate costumes for Aquaman, Deathstroke, and Wonder Woman based on their Flashpoint counterparts. Flashpoint was the story arc that led into the New 52 reboot, where Wonder Woman and Aquaman were at war. Deathstroke had a kick-ass beard and a bandeezy. Superman was a very small, like, anorexic child.
Huh.
Yeah. Batman and the Joker were Bruce Wayne's parents. It was pretty awesome. Well, that storyline was, anyway. Some of them were a bit... But anyway, Justice Gods Among Us is set for release on April 16th for the Xbox 360, PS3, and Wii U. And speaking of video games, Infinite Crisis has been announced. Infinite Crisis is an upcoming MOBA that is set within the DC multiverse. And right now, and so far, the characters have been announced. There are three variations on Batman. There is regular-ass Batman, Nightmare Batman, and Gaslight Batman. But then there's also characters like Wonder Woman, Zatanna, Gaslight Joker, Gaslight Catwoman, Green Lantern, The Flash. And I'm actually kind of excited for this. It looks really cool.
Yeah, it'll be
kind of
cool. I don't know which to be more excited about. Probably Injustice.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you guys are interested, there's a trailer up on the site you can check out, and if you want to get into the demo, if you want to try to get into the beta, you can sign up at infinitecrisis.com. So that's pretty cool. So moving on to our next piece of news, two new actors have joined the cast of Captain America: The Winter Soldier. First up is Robert Redford. Robert Redford will be playing a quote senior leadership role in SHIELD. They haven't actually announced who he will, like, what his character will be, but yeah, he has a senior leadership role in SHIELD. Ooh,
yeah. I'm not exactly enthused about that one, but
yeah. So the next person added is Georges St-Pierre, the MMA fighter. And UFC
that I'm welter- even less enthused about,
and the U and current UFC welterweight champion. So he'll be joining this movie as one of the villains, Batroc the Leaper. Batroc has no super abilities. He's just a Olympic level gymnast, and he jumps at things.
Anytime an MMA fighter ends up in a movie, I'm disappointed.
Because he does seem like the kind of like a perfect fit for the role, because, you know, he has the right body type. He's French. You know, what more could you want? You know, acting ability would help, but I'm hoping that...
Yeah, acting ability is always good.
But I'm hoping that, you know, like, Batroc doesn't talk that much. He just kind of shows up, jumps at things, and gets his ass kicked. Yeah, so moving on to next week's news, with more casting updates. Deadline has gotten their hands on... Like, Deadline has figured out who will be playing all the Ninja Turtles in the Michael Bay-produced Ninja Turtles reboot. So, first up, we have Alan Ritchson, who will be in the upcoming Hunger Games Catching Fire. He'll be playing Raphael. Then we also have Pete Plosek as Leonardo. I don't know what he's from. Jeremy Howard as Donatello, and Noel Fisher as Michelangelo. I don't really know who any of these people are.
Nor do I.
Jolly good. But they could have gotten like fucking Corey Feldman to come back to play Donatello. He's still alive, right?
I honestly don't know.
I know one of the Coreys is dead. Anyway, also apparently the turtles in this movie will not be, you know, costumed guys. They will be more along the lines of Avatar stuff, where it's like motion captured CG people. Which, okay, I guess. Anyway, moving on to our next piece of news. Valiant Comics has done a pretty good job recently with going back and rebooting some of their older properties, like Shadow Man, Harbinger, what's the name? Archer and something. I can't remember the name.
I could help you out with that.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking this up. I'm looking this up right now. Archer and Armstrong. So they've done a really great job with that, and they're bringing back another one. They're bringing back the world's worst superhero team, Quantum and Woody.
Who are Quantum and Woody, and why are they the world's worst superhero team?
I don't know, but they have a goat.
Left 4 Dead 2 joke.
So this series will be releasing on July 10th. It'll be written by James Asmus, who's written Gambit, Thief of Thieves, Captain America, and Bucky, and will be drawn by Tom Fowler, who drew Venom and Hulk Season 1. So, synopsis that was released is, once upon a time, Eric and Woody Henderson were inseparable, adopted brothers, best friends, brilliant minds. Years later, they are estranged siblings, petty rivals, and washed-up failures. But when their father's murder leads them into the throes of a life-altering scientific accident, Eric and Woody will find themselves with a whole new purpose and a perfectly legitimate reason to wear costumes and fight crime. Go big or go home, folks. Quantum and Woody are coming. And the action-packed, zeitgeist-shredding exploitation stunt comic you demanded is here at last. And yes, there will be a goat too, eventually. Yeah. I am not exactly familiar with, old school Valiant stuff. Like, so they're like, I read the newer stuff. It's really, I really like it. And this looks really cool too. They released some preview images showing some of the powers these guys have. Like Quantum, he has some kind of like force field generating thing around him. And yeah, it looks really cool. I really am interested in the series. And it was also kind of cool is like the costume. So like Quantum, he is dressed up in, full on like superhero style costume with the mask and everything. And Woody is out there in like an ill-fitting, like really crumpled suit with sunglasses.
So one tries with their costume and the other's like, fuck it.
And it was like, fuck that noise, I got superpowers. Like that's why it's called Quantum and Woody. One guy uses his real name, the other guy like superhero is. So yeah, like I said, Quantum Woody comes out on July 10th, and I'm actually looking forward to it. It looks really cool. So, moving on to our next piece of news. Warner Brothers Home Entertainment and DC Entertainment have announced that they are making a full-length documentary called Necessary Evil, Villains of DC Comics. This is a documentary looking at the classic villains of the DC Universe. Which is actually pretty cool. So the documentary is actually going to be narrated by Christopher Lee, which is cool. So production began on the thing this past weekend at WonderCon in Anaheim, California, and fans of DC Comics were actually encouraged to dress up as their favorite DC villains for a chance to appear within the documentary.
That's awesome.
If you miss your chance there, there'll also be opportunities at Comic Con International and New York Comic Con. So Necessary Evil will be taking a look taking an in-depth look at DC's villains through interviews with, quote, with the famed creators, storytellers, and those who have crafted their personalities and profiles of many of the most notorious villains in comic book history. So in a statement, DC's chief creative officer, Jeff Johns, said, DC Comics is known for many things, but chief among them is the compelling, diverse, and legendary society of supervillains who populate its universe. From the monstrous Solomon Grundy to the brutal Black Adam to the charismatic Sinestro, there's no single greater collection of villainy in all of fiction. These villains are hugely popular comic book characters in their own right, and quite honestly, many are oftentimes more popular than some of our iconic superheroes. So yeah, there is no like real announcement on who will be like directing this, when they have a planned release date. It's just going to be happening, and I'm actually really excited about this. It looks really cool. Just from like the sound of it so far, just getting a look at some of the villains that populate this universe, and it'll be cool like looking at some of the ones I don't know that much about.
Yeah, like documentaries, yeah. Good chance to learn something.
Yeah, so moving on to our next piece of news and back to video games a bit. Telltale has finally announced what their Fables game will be about.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the game is called The Wolf Among Us, and players will be taking the role of Bigby Wolf, the Big Bad Wolf.
Fuck yes!
Yeah. So the game will follow Bigby as he like tries to keep like characters like Mr. Toad, the Three Little Pigs, undetected in our world. You know, if you've read the comics, then you know that it's kind of his job to deal with the world, and try to keep like the fairy tale characters from like being like exposed to the real world, which is actually pretty cool. So, Telltale CEO Dan Connor said, "Developing The Wolf Among Us based on the Fables universe has allowed our studio to build upon all the hallmarks of what makes our episodic games so engaging for players. Through an evolution of our approach to choice and consequence, we can further explore the complexity of each and every iconic character in a universe rich with untold stories from the darkest sides of the storybooks." Yeah, that's really cool. Looking at some of the stuff that happened with this, it's possible that this might also have some, like, some of the story might take place in the homelands, like before, like the adversary took over and everything, which could be really cool, seeing how things were before, you know.
Well, we do get some looks in the comic. We do get some looks in the comics, but yeah, it would be once again cool to see that, and I'm looking forward to being able to play as Big B. And
yeah,
I kind of like what they've set up as your major conflict is keeping everything concealed.
Yeah, it'd be really cool. Yeah, so moving on to our final piece of news, Once Upon a Time is getting a graphic novel from Marvel. Woo, I'm the only one who cares about this.
Once Upon a Time is getting a graphic novel.
Yes. So the series will be written, but so it'll be a, I think, a five chapter thing. It'll be written by Daniel Thompson, who is the series co-producer and a former story executive editor. And it'll also be written by Karina Bechko, who also wrote Star Wars Legacy. Like I said, the book will be five chapters, and each of those five chapters will be drawn by five different artists, including Nimit Malavia, Vasilis Lolos, Mike Del Mundo, Stephanie Hounds, and Mike Henderson. Yeah. I don't know who any of those people are.
A Once Upon a Time graphic novel sounds an awful lot like Fables.
And kind of, yeah.
It's a comparison that's frequently made. I'm not the only one who says it.
Yeah, more recently, it actually has gotten a lot more Fables, because now, like, it's not like the curse is broken, magic exists in their world, and people are now able to stumble into their town, and they are trying everything they can to, you know, keep the magic and people from figuring out what's going on in the town. So anyway, the book will be called Once Upon a Time, Shadow of the Queen, and will take place mostly in the Enchanted Forest, and will focus mostly on the Huntsman. For those who don't know, the Huntsman is dead in the series. He was killed after the evil queen crushed his heart.
Well, that's wonderful.
Because she ripped his heart out. Yeah. Once Upon a Time is weird. Like, really weird.
Many good things are.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, that's going to do it for news, and I guess I could do it for this week. Unless you have something else to talk about, everyone.
Nope.
Okay. So thank you all for joining us. As always, you can follow us site on Twitter. You can follow us at DeathStoreProds. I'm at Deadman_DDProds. We have at BubbyWan, and while he is not here, you can follow Steven at Steven_TC. You can like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/DeathStoreProds. Subscribe to us on YouTube at YouTube.com/DeathStoreProds. Viz for myself, YouTube.com/BubbyWan for BubbyWan, and YouTube.com/DrThoraz. That's Dr. Thoraz for Steven. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us some reviews, let us know what you want to see more of, less of, etc. We're also on Stitcher now, so check us out on there. Download the app and get all of our podcasts. We're also on DeviantArt at destroprods.deviantart.com, where apparently people like Ninja Kitty cosplay photos. I just went over there, checked out some of the stuff. People like them.
Yeah, no, people really enjoy it, and it's where we're starting to have a solid fan base on DeviantArt.
Woo! Yeah. So, this week on the website, we're going to be having on the movies podcast this Friday, as well as the new commentary track for, yeah, by the time this goes up, a little bit announced, for Born the BBC Month. This week, we're going to be watching, where to put the list? We're going to be watching Doomwatch, I think.
I know nothing about that movie.
Yeah, neither do I. So this will be fun. This will be a fun experiment. Yeah, and so then we'll be having the Anything Cast live this Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Please join us at allgames.com/chat. We'd love to hear what you guys think about what we're doing on the site and everything. Then it will be games next Tuesday and an anime next Thursday, as well as the Anime Club for episodes. Actually, this will be for episodes 7 and 8. This week will be episodes 5 and 6.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I forgot about that. This is the weird thing with recording early. I always messed up with, I always keep fucking up with, like, when this goes up and what we'll be posting and everything. Yeah, when this goes up, that schedule will be released for Born the BBC Month. Then all this stuff will be happening. But until all that stuff, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bovey Wong.
And for Steven, we will see you guys next time.